looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, giving you reasons to feel good, bringing you exceptional authors who express their experiences through writing, and then share with you on Light on Living to bring you all the goodies that can help you with your holistic happiness. So we are finally, I've been gearing up, everybody's so excited, we are kicking off the month of resistance to resilience from the series Your Shift Matters. And I want to shout out a big thank you to Dana Bacone, who truly attracted all the right co-authors to allow us to witness their struggles, their obstacles, and the way they got through them. I mean, that's the biggest thing, right? Like, we need help sometimes. And here's the thing. We all face resistance. I mean, I'm sure I faced like three of them already this morning. And every day we all do. But I am appreciative of resistance. You know why? Because I know that's how I grow. And I do want to live a life where expansion is possible. So without resistance showing up, I mean, that really wouldn't be any help to me. And I said, so every time it does show up and that resistance, I just go, okay, what in me is pushing against this or being pulled against, you know, from it? And then I stop and I think, okay, well, like, what's going on? Am I not aligning? That's really what it is, right? We're not aligning with what is right for us. Like, what's true to us? And we got to figure out what makes us come alive. Last week, I had a friend who asked this question. I loved it. Are you living or are you alive? Like, really feel that one. That's a big one. And the way it was kind of posed, I was like, oh, my gosh, if we're simply living, I mean, I love that word. It's a good word. But if you think about it, if you're just simply living, that means there's a lot of resistance going on that you haven't aligned with. Because when you're alive, you are aligned and you're just go. You're just flowing and that's good. So when that question came up, it made me really think about resistance. And it proved to me that when things bother me, like when things aren't right, it just shows me that I actually know I have value, that I'm worth something, because otherwise I'll just let the world step on me. You know what I mean? If you guys ever come to resistance and you just go, oh, whatever, that's the way it is. Life is always has ups and downs and crappy stuff and everything. But you know what? It actually shows when you're noticing resistance that you know there's a better way. I love that. And then the other thing too, I don't want to just stick on, you know, resistance, but what about resilience? Like resilient, to be resilient. I love that word so much too. Because really, what does that word mean? That relates to living in alignment, to be resilient, to be able to come back from something, to get through it, to get over it, to look at it and say, hey, there's something bigger here for me. And so that's why I know it's going to take an entire month for us to get through resistance to resilience, and that you want both. And so we've got so many co-authors. There's actually 11 in the book, but we've got 8 of them, which is tremendous, who want to share with us and you guys, like, how alignment can be done easily. Like, how resiliency can show up in your life, and how do you get, like, what does that even look like? If you were to think of your life right now and all the resistance that exists, what would it look like for you to be living in a resilient life? Like, how do you get bounced back from that? So, as I said, we've got 8 and we've got 2 today, and they're such interesting stories. Like, you know what, even if you haven't had the same exact resistance or issue or contrast that showed up as these authors, let me tell you, there is something in every single story that will help you in some area of your life. I can promise you that because I've read them, and it happens all the time, and they're just like little keys, little helpful things. So I'd like to introduce my first guest, co-author in Your Shift Matters, Resistance to Resilience, and her chapter is titled Open Up the Airways of Your Life, and it's by Suzanne Lavoie. Hello, Suzanne.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. It's it's really neat talking about something that happens to everybody every day, but in different ways. And here you are.
I know. I am so excited. I've been so excited about talking about this. And I'm just so grateful this morning.
Aww. Well, you know what? Your resistance is really came up with, yours hits really hard because it was from such a young age and in such an intense way. And I do want to just share this with everybody. I wrote this on the Facebook post, suffocated by life, living in an oxygen tent and accused of making up like attacks, like breathing attacks and health issues. Like, I, you know what, starting life that way as a child, wow, resistance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it just was absolutely traumatic about how, from 3 years old, I mean, I was exposed to things that nobody really should have to go through, and it was just major resistance from that time on.
And it wasn't even just it's the world's resistance, but then because of the world's resistance, it makes us have our own resistance. And I should actually start by sharing your little bio here, because I do want people to have their ears perk up and go, ooh, I need to know about that. So let me just share about Suzanne. Suzanne Lavoie is a seasoned writer filled with a huge zest for her craft and life. Her literary achievements include being a contributing chapter author for two compilations, including Unsung Heroes, Deconstructing Suicide through Stories of Triumph and What Self-Love Got to Do with It, as you guys know that book. And I want to just say that again, that if anybody, you know, if suicide is in your world, if somebody that you know, if somebody you're going through yourself, then you really want to listen to Suzanne's interview here. Suzanne is also a solo author, yay, and launched her first book of a series, Night Shift, and that's K-N-I-G-H-T, Night Shift, in December of 2017. Suzanne obtained a master's in social work with a concentration in international and community development from Monmouth University. She has been a public speaker at various venues and performs with a drama group that educates about diverse mental health topics. Suzanne has a love for travel and currently works as an author liaison, content editor, and proofreader for Follow It Through Publishing. We love Heather. A writing coach for Your Shift Matters Publishing, and as an online trainer for Ashley Consulting and Training. Suzanne, you certainly have come through to be living a resilient life.
Yes, I have. Amen to that.
I want to ask you about something really cute and funny that I loved in your chapter, and it was all about a purple pen.
Oh, yeah.
Can you just share, that is so, it's so cute, but it's so true, and it really brought me back to my childhood. Can you just share that a little bit, like what that purple pen was and what it meant to you and how it helped you?
It was around my intermediate school years. I was around 12 years old, and up to that point, I had been dealing with a lot of bullying and just a lot of negative challenges with my peers. And around that time, my mom came home from her job one day with this purple pen, and it was a real long pen. I had an obsession with pens, and she brought home this really dark purple pen, and it wrote purple ink, and I fell in love with it. So I brought it to school the next day, and I was just using it to take notes, and all of a sudden, all of these people, like all these kids around me started like noticing it, and they're like, oh my God, look at that pen. And then they saw that it was writing purple ink. And all of a sudden, like all these kids were just paying attention to me, and it was positive. And then they're like, oh, can I borrow it? Can I borrow it? And I mean, it just was amazing. And then it really got into my writing, because then I started using that purple pen to write stories. But it was like the first positive attention that I received, and even like my teachers were impressed with it. Like, they had never seen anything like it before. So I always think about that purple pen, until to this day I still use different color of pens to write with, but that one was special.
Yeah, and you know what, Suzanne, why I first of all, I think we can all relate back. We maybe got a favorite eraser or a little pencil case or whatever that may be at that school. But what that really showed to me was that, first of all, your mother was really recognizing your alignment with what you enjoyed. You loved pens because you loved writing. And so by as we live our truths and as we live what we are attracted to and we're just ourselves, you were yourself and went, Mom, I love pens. Your mom loved you. She gave you a pen. Then it became really interesting. And then it's so it's not – I want people to really hear that. It's not like, okay, you guys got to go out and get your purple pen. It's that you want to live in alignment with what you love because things will be attracted to you because of that energy that you're living.
That's right. That's right. And you're up. Yeah, definitely.
And so when I want to ask, when you started being able to get that first like snowball effect of attention and just living a different life, did something, what shifted in you that added to the next time somebody was mean to you, how could you use that to get through the next one?
Well, the writing had opened up a portal for me where I could be my true self. And I just was actually sharing about that last night with someone, that writing was it was a therapy for me. So any time that I was feeling bullied or there was something that I was dealing with that was really, really horrendous, I just turned to my writing. And I didn't realize how much it was really helping me and sustaining me while I was going through everything. And so then, like when I had that purple pen incident, and then all of a sudden I started writing stories. And then it got to a point where some friends of mine in high school, we had actually started writing a story. And it's funny, but it was about like our favorite rock group. We were into the Monkees group back then. And I mean, we were writing stories about how we met them and we were their friends. And I mean, it was so cool because we were more interested in that than our school. So we were, but I mean, it was just such an outlet because I mean, we could just be ourselves. And so that even to this day, my writing is my safe place. It's where I feel my best. It's where I can shine my best. And I just live to share it with other people because it's the one place where not only can you be your true self, but you can have the greatest impact. And especially when you decide to write a book or a chapter and a compilation.
That's actually neat that you said that about the impact. I was just thinking about how much fun you and your friend were having writing the story, and that because it's because it's joyful. Like it's happy and you're having imagination and there's no rules and you can just be fun. So the word that you used, outlet, and then impact. So when you talk about you, I think it's a great thing to be leaders and living an example so others can say, oh, she's doing it. I can do it too. If you were to help people to find their hidden gem, like to find their testimonial, their message, you asked that actually in your chapter, and I love that. How would you give like tips for someone to even start finding how to have joy?
I would have, well, it's actually something I did for a very close friend of mine a few months ago. She was going through a very challenging time in her life, and I noticed that she had a hobby in her life that really brought her a lot of happiness. And I said to her, have you ever considered maybe making that a new career? And she was a cook and she loved to cook. So I had found out about a culinary program in the area. And so I told her about it. And then one thing led to another and she enrolled and then she became a chef. So, but the thing is, she always said to me, like, you know what? I never would have thought about it if you hadn't like addressed it. And so like what I encourage people to look at is because life is always changing and there's, especially in the professional sector, I mean, jobs just aren't around like they used to be. So I always say like find something that you love to do and it can be monetized. It can have an impact. And like, for example, like I love animals and I've been for many years, friends have been, you know, asking me to help with their pets. And so like, that's a way. So anything in your life that is a passion or a hobby, like it, focus on that because that's what I found. Like a lot of people are in situations where the life is getting sucked out of them because they're not in their true calling. And I didn't even realize, like, everything that I was doing up until this new path of writing, like, I was happy, but I wasn't as passionate about, like, I didn't feel the intense joy that I was until I got into this path. And the thing is, writing has allowed me to include everything in my life that I love. So I would always encourage people to, like, look at their lives. What is it that brings that truest joy? And then build from there.
You know, Suzanne, I love that you actually said it sucks. If you're in a job, it's sucking the life out of you, because your whole chapter is about the airways. Like, and it was so perfect that you just said that. And what great advice. And I've got a minute before commercial, but I want to ask this question. And even if we do go to commercial, I'll have the answer when we come back. When someone has a hobby, like, I love that you said that. I've often heard people say, oh, well, yeah, I don't really want to make it a career because I'll fear that I won't love it anymore because now it's work. Do you have something you could share with us? And as I said, we might run into commercial, but share with us about if someone really went, God, I would love to do my hobby every day and make money from it because that would make me happy. But they're holding themselves back. The resistance is that they know there's so many other aspects to business than just the hobby, and they have to do all those other things. So with you and your writing in regards to that, if you could just take a moment to think about that for when we come back. And as we do go into commercial, I want to share with everybody, we have another guest coming up after this, and it's a completely different resistance, completely different topic, but you know what? The same thing. We've got to live our joy. So, Suzanne, when we come back, how we turn our hobby into an amazing, resilient career, okay?
Okay.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I can't really be that worthless. I can't really be that stupid, weak, fearful, unlovable. I just really can't be that broken. Wow, those beliefs have slammed the door shut on my heart, stopping me from stepping into my greatness. Does this sound all too familiar to you? What if those beliefs aren't true? What if those false beliefs are creating resistance and blocking you from your own success, your power, and your happiness? What if you could break down the walls of doubt and rise from resistance to resilience? Well, now you can. Just like 11 other women overcame impossible odds with courage, strength, and determination. The truth is, your shift matters, and you're not alone. And others share their story to help guide you along your freeing experience to confidence, joy, and love. Tune into Light on Living's Your Shift Matters series to hear from 8 of the 11 co-authors of the number one bestseller on Amazon, Your Shift Matters, Resistance to Resilience, compiled by Dana Zarcone. Get your copy, read their stories, then join us as we get to experience their inspiring words personally.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Enjoy passive income benefits while creating a cottage experience for others. From a relaxing getaway to connecting with nature, sitting around flickering campfire light, dipping in cool, refreshing waters, strengthening your body with biking, hiking, boating, and swimming. And you have the cottage that could be a part of all of those memories while earning you money. Financial abundance as a thank you for renting your cottage. Become a cottage rental owner today, safely and supported. RentCottage.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Light on Living, and I'm your host, Lisa Berry. I have two wonderful, just like pleasant guests with me today, and they are co-authors in the book, Your Shift Matters series, Resistance to Resilience. And we've got Suzanne Lavoie right now. And as we wrap up with Suzanne, I asked her a question, and the reason why this question was so important was because she was able to get through, and I wanted everybody to really hear this, body shaming, allergies, SIBO, PTSD, like it's just, it goes asthma. I don't even think I just put that in there, but there was so much that she really had to like get through this resistance, and she found it all through writing. And she's able to turn not just a hobby, but something that she was using as a coping mechanism and as a joy outlet, and she's turned it into a career. And so, a question we left off with Suzanne was how, what. When the resistance comes up for someone who really enjoys what they do and they're thinking, could I possibly make a career out of what I love? What would be your magical tip for them to go from resistance to resilience?
Well, I address this in my chapter because not only did I have physical asthma, but I also had a lot of emotional asthma where a lot, for many, many years, I was allowing other people's opinions and circumstances suffocate the life out of me. And when I was originally looking to start on my writing path, I mean, there were a lot of opinions said to me about, oh, well, that's not really a stable career. You know, there's 10 million writers out there. And I mean, in the beginning, I mean, that was suffocating me. And I was like, you know what? Like, no, this is something that I want to do. And I had to get past that resistance. And I'm like, I deserve to have this in my life. And not only that, I know it's something that's going to impact. So I had to clear all of that suffocation that was going on around me. And just like with my asthma, where I had to take an inhaler to clear my airways, I had to start inhaling positive energy around me. I had to take in people that were building me up. I did tons of personal development. I was reading books. I was listening to podcasts and YouTube videos. So I was inhaling positive energy all around me as I was going on this path. And my one publisher, Heather Andrews, I mean, she would be on the phone with me sometimes for a couple hours just helping me to see that this book was, the solo book that I had done was meant to be. And then my other publishers that, I mean, they were amazing. So I would say for anybody who wants to start a business or follow a path of something they love is start inhaling that positive energy, taking in that positive energy and clear away all those obstructions that are in your life. And it can be even from people that are well-meaning, you know, people close to us, because they're not on our path and we're all meant to do something individual. So that's like what I would say is, you know, inhale the positive. So clear the obstructions in your life.
That is absolutely beautiful. That is so beautiful. And I read your chapter and I'm so glad that you said that in such a way. I literally was imagining when I was in public school, and, you know, asthma was not that common when I was in grade school. And so we only had, you know, one kid in the class who had it. And I remember that fear, like just like we all go through that fear of I can't breathe for whatever reason, to taking that, let's call it that positive in and clearing the obstructions and then getting to have that life force again. That was so beautiful, Suzanne. Oh my gosh. I would love you to invite everybody right now. How could they Get the book. First of all, everybody should read this book. But then how could they get a hold of you and just hear from you, hear your positivity, talk to you, use your skills and all that good stuff? How can they reach you?
Well, I'll give my website. It's www.SuzanneLavoieWrites.com. It's SUZANNE. LAV as in Victor, OIE, writes.com. And then I do have a writer's page on Facebook, and it's under Suzanne Lavoie. And then, of course, I have my other account, Suzanne Lavoie Salmon. But my website, I am constantly updating it, but there's also a way of contacting me on there. But I'll give it on here. It's info. INFO at SuzanneLavoieWrites.com. And I would love to hear from anybody out there because I want to, spread the joy and help anybody clear the airways of their life in order to follow their passions.
I love that. Well, Suzanne, thank you for being the first, kickstarting this off. And we've got a friend and co-author coming on right after to kick this off as well. And before I tell you her name, moving from one thing which Suzanne has gone through all of her life to something that was quite a shocker in our next guest and co-author's life. And I wanted to start by saying, in a world where change is constant, so too is our own way of defining beauty. So just totally different subject, but the same. This woman's resilience through Hashimoto's disease and alopecia takes her on a journey of embracing ancestral diversity and becoming a role model of what true beauty is. I am so just excited, blessed, everything to welcome on Awilda Gonzalez Raya. So good morning, good afternoon, good everything, Awilda.
Good morning. I'm so excited.
Oh my goodness. There's resistance comes in so many forms, and what such an interesting story, because your story is all about change. We can look at change as resistance, or we can welcome change. And I would love for you to start sharing just a little bit, what was this big change that you had to go through that could have been the worst resistance of your life, but you turned it around?
So definitely change, the one thing that is always constant in our life is change, right? And it's just like you said, Lisa, we can either resist it or we kind of go with it, right? And the biggest change for me definitely was when, first of all, I learned that I had Hashimoto. I had no idea what that was. I'm thinking, what in the world is this, So even that change and accepting that I had this, autoimmune disorder that then started to cause my hair loss. And that was the biggest change of my life. It just twisted everything about me. Because everything that I had learned up to there was about beauty and how your hair was this thing of glory, and having beautiful hair meant a big thing. It's a cultural thing where I'm from. So
then, and where are you from?
I am Puerto Rican. I'm from Puerto Rico and stuff. So definitely I'm Latina, and in the Latina culture, definitely hair and beauty is a big thing. And, and outside beauty, you see it everywhere, right? And definitely for me, when I started to lose my long, beautiful, curly, very thick hair, I was devastated. I was totally devastated. I thought I was ugly. I didn't want anybody to see me. I was even felt like shame. It was horrible. It was a horrible thing to go through, but through a lot of working through it, through having people around me, I started to work through it, and it's taken me 4 years to get where I'm at. But I've embraced that change.
And when those 4 years probably seem like a long 4 years, but in the end of it all, it's going to be like a flash. And I should actually start off and share with everybody your bio page, and you're going to have to help me out with some of these words here. But
okay. Yeah, <fine. laughs>
but everybody, I just want to share with you about Awilda, because it's truly incredible. I think every woman and men, I mean, I've dated men who are just so struggling with their hair and hair loss. And I have friends who've gone through that. It affects us all, but there is this interesting component about women and their beauty and their hair. And so this is why I really wanted to start off the entire month with definitely having your story come up, because at first we think, oh, resilience, it's about not having enough money or having this life crisis, but our appearances can be huge.
Yes.
I know they've played such a role in my life. So, Ewilda Gonzalez-Reyes, I hope I say that out, is a Puerto Rican writer with a background in mental health and workforce development. She has dedicated her career assisting clients to become self-reliant by defining, pursuing, and achieving their own goals. As a mother and a grandmother, Ewilda is familiar with the struggles in parenting, having a career, and maintaining her own identity. She is the author of number one international bestseller, The Real Journey of the Empowered Mom Boss, and is published in, oh my goodness, Gozamos. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Yes. Gozamos. Gozamos.com, and was featured, a featured poet in Proyecto Latina.
Very good.
Yay! In 2013, two poems closest to her heart, Allegiance and Endangered Species, were published in Rebeldes. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. a Proyecto Latina anthology. I just love anthologies. Ewilda was also a content writer for The Body Is Not an Apology. Oh my gosh, I just love that. And I have to ask you about that one. And that was from November 14th to August of 2015. She's currently turning life challenges into triumphs through motivational speaking, like now even, and delving into her blog. You are building a legacy that moves, touches, and inspires others into their best, and you so are. You're welcome. You're welcome. I have to jump into this. The body is not an apology. That's a heavy statement.
Yes. So that was an amazing experience that I had. I was asked to be a content writer, and it's really an amazing website where it's everybody. It's gender. It's beauty. It's able-bodied, non-able-bodied. So it's all-encompassing. And how we're seen in society, as this body, but our bodies are not an apology, whether we have a disability, whether we're able-bodied, whether we're not able-bodied, whether we are thin, whether we are 500 pounds, our body is not, it doesn't have to be an apology. So that's what that website really is about.
That must have been incredible. I'm so glad that you, of all people, got to write for them. And that was just wonderful. Now, when you did something really interesting, you sport your head and your hair the way it is. You don't always how is it you live your life? Like you use the term bald. I don't know what the word is. How do you say that?
So the way I do that, and it's taken me some time to get to this point. I don't want anybody to think like it's a journey that just happens like overnight, right? Because the shock at first, it's like you're losing your hair, and you're trying to save whatever little bit of hair that you have, in the beginning, you're like, oh my God. And there's nothing that you can do about it. It just falls and it falls, right? Mm-hmm. And at first, it took me some time to sport kind of like, just a shaved look, because I do have some hair, but it's not a lot anymore. I've lost at least 80% of my hair, and definitely there are times when it grows in, there are times it falls, there are times that it's patchy, and one of the things that I've in my journey that I've embraced, especially in this last maybe year, especially these last few months, is that I'm kind of tired of the whole shaving thing, right? And
all women are, I think.
Yes, definitely. And it's one of those things where you're like, okay, so do I shave it all? Do I let it grow? Do I let it just be how it, and do I see if it comes back? Like, it's always this battle, right? And I've used to have a mohawk and it started to fall, so I had to shave it again, and so now I decided to just, you know, challenge myself again and just say, you know what, I'm just going to let my hair grow however it is. The patchiness, let it show, you know, because this is who I am. I'm not gonna hide who I am. And I think one of the things with alopecia, especially with women, I think it's a little bit easier for men, and some men do struggle with it, you know. It's just as shocking for men. But it's something different for women, right? And a lot of women, we hide it. We hide it either with a wig, we hide it either with a turban or hats or however you decide to hide it, you know, weave or whatever, right? I've chosen to not to continue to wear a wig. I did the wig thing. You know, I've done everything that you can think of under the sun at this point, you know, but I decided not to do that because this is who I am. And I am not an apology. My hair is not an apology. I am not going to live by the standards of what society thinks is normal, whatever that normal means, right? Mm-hmm. And I definitely have embraced that this is who I am. And, you know, and I know it might look strange to some people, right? But there is no stranger than having someone have pink hair or rainbow hair or, you know, sporting a mohawk. So definitely this is who I am, and I've embraced that, you know. And it comes with a lot of building confidence, you know, in who you are and remembering yeah. that you're not your hair, that you are so much more than the outside beauty, that you are beautiful inside, and that what really brings confidence isn't so much how you have your hair or what color it is or the style that you wear, but it's how you walk into a room and the confidence that you exude when you walk into a room.
Yeah, I love that you actually said that specific thing. And you, if everybody right now could imagine themselves going, they're standing at a door. On the other side of that door, there's a room full of people, and they're going to open in, that door, walk through, and they're going to be expressing themselves in with their vibration
exactly.
as much as they. And you're right, because you know what? Yes, we all have our favorite color. Like I put pink in my hair, but and you know, some people love to wear black, or some people love to wear lots of jewelry or this, because it's an expression. But you've come to a point
exactly.
where you found a way to confidently express yourself from the inside out, like boom. And
yes.
My big question on that is, where does one, like, that's a big jump, I think, from some people. Like right now, I wear my makeup everywhere, all the time, at any get, like, there's nobody that will ever see me without it, ever, right? Not even the cats. I always go, oh God, I call it
okay.
cat makeup, you know. I have to put on, I'm like, oh,
right.
I'm at least putting makeup on for them. And it might be a little less, but that would be a huge jump for me to go from that to, oh, yep, just going to put that bare face right out into the world. So where with somebody like me, or where does somebody else start to say that that's okay, I'm okay to do that?
So really, I think it comes with what you have. First of all, it does come from a generational thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at how generationally you have been taught. And sometimes we have to decolonize the things that we have been taught, right? Because, yes, definitely, you know, I come from a background where, you know, when you went outside, you had to have lipstick. You had to, you know, look a certain way. Everything was, you know, make sure everything is tidy in your hair. And I think, you know, you grow up with those generational thoughts. Right.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I just turned 51. And so definitely it's taken me some time to kind of chisel away at those generational thoughts and decolonize those thoughts and say, okay, well, where does this really come from? Who really told me that I'm supposed to do this? And where is that really written? Is that some rule somewhere? You know, and realize that it's not a rule. It's stuff that you learn from very young as a child, and then especially for women, as a teenager, we're very, you know, sensitive to certain things, and we are, you know, society, you know, the news, the magazines, we see it everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to remember, where does that really come from? And the second part to that really comes from, you have to surround yourself with people who actually think the same way that you do or that are going to help you develop in a certain way, right? Mm. And that is key for me. For me, it has been my circle of people that I have around me. And my circle means my family, right? The support of my family. It means the support of my best friend. It means the support of my children, you know, of my grandchildren, you know, because it's those people are also affected by how you live your life. And those people are also affected by how you feel about yourself, you know, and I never want my daughters or my sons or any woman that I come across to feel like, oh my God, something is wrong with me, so I have to hide that, right? And so definitely it comes from chiseling away at those thoughts that you have to be a certain way to be accepted. You know, you don't have to be a certain way. People are going to gravitate you towards you. The right people are going to gravitate towards you, you know, and the people who are not supposed to be part of your life, those will drift as they come, you know, and so, and you have to remember that as long as you have your core people, that's all that really matters.
You know, the that was absolutely, when you said about surround yourself with people who are going to help you develop. I love that you said that, going to help you develop in a desirable way. I kind of reworded that, but I love it.
Yes.
But, you know, but the word develop, because that means that you're expressing right there, it takes a time to do this. And I also love that you absolutely said that it is like a generational thought. And just the funny thing, my mother used to always, she would never wear jeans because she said, oh my goodness, no, we were raised that farmers wear jeans. That was for poor people. And
right.
And I that made me think of that. I had to really think of like, look, that it changes, life changes. Now, I know we're going to sneak away to commercial in about 35 seconds here, but when we come back, I would love for you, Awilda, to share so we've stepping into our confidence, we're building the people around us, and yes, the people will fall. How do we keep the love for ourselves when the resistance does come from people that, you know, we got blindsided and somebody showed up in our life,
okay,
and, you know, we're feeling great, and then boom, somebody says something and you suddenly feel so like sticking out like a sore thumb. So when we come back from commercial, I really want to help people and support people with you with that.
Okay.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for. That new understanding that will enhance your life. And that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Oh, thank you guys for joining us. I just hope that every listener right now is just checking in with themselves and realizing that whatever resistance is in your life is truly there for you to get through it, like to say, this is something that really matters to me, and that's my inner being saying, I can become resilient. I can use resiliency to get to the other side. And we've been chatting with two authors, and we're continuing on with them. We had Suzanne Lavoie the first round, and now we have Awilda Gonzalez the second, and they are both co-authors in the book. It's actually from the series Your Shift Matters, and it's from resistance to resilience. And what's hair got to do with it is a Wilda's chapter. And as she's been, you know, had gone through discovering that she had Hashimoto's disease, and then that resulting in having and experiencing alopecia, we talked there, Wilda, about really finding that confidence, and it does take time and learning all these things. But say you've really got your mojo, you've got yourself, you're feeling great, and you step out into that world, and then you don't get such a great response from somebody. Somebody said something mean to you. Like,
right.
What do you do?
So the thing is that, and it's interesting, right, because at first when I first decided, and I started to not wear a head covering, you always get the looks, right? And yeah. And I could be walking down the mall, and sometimes it's kids, and that's understandable. Kids are going to look, yeah, right? It's not very common to see a woman who's bald or who has a mohawk or patchiness in their hair, right? Mm-hmm. Definitely, it is kind of hard when you see people that look at you a certain way. And I remember at first what was happening was that I had this wall, right? And I wasn't allowing people to also approach me because I already had this wall up where it was like, oh, well, that person's looking at me a certain way. So let me look back the same way they were looking at me, when it's these preconceived things in our heads. Maybe that person really wasn't even looking at me, right? And here I am with these thoughts, and I'm these preconceived thoughts in my head, and I had this wall. So of course I'm not allowing anybody to kind of approach me, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I started doing, and this again came with the help of talking it out with my, you know, best friend and my families and people like that, and just reading a lot, right, about self-care and what that really was and stuff. I started to notice, you know, and my best friend actually said it. She was like, you know, you have to get to a point where maybe people do want to approach you, but you're the one that's stopping people from approaching you. So you have to find a way to be okay with how people are looking at you and smile. Maybe a smile might be the one thing that might, you know, have somebody to spark a conversation with you or something like that. I also have a friend who has alopecia, and she sent me buttons. They're alopecia buttons. And it says bald is beautiful and alopecia awareness. And I try to wear them as often as possible, you know, with all my outfits. Because when people read it, you know, they might see me, but when they see the button, because it's pretty, you know, if you can see it, they smile, and then I smile back, you know. So I started to learn, like, okay, wait a minute, you know, I'm the one that's stopping people from approaching me. And I have sparked some conversations. People will come up to me, or some women will come up to me, and they're like, oh, girl, I love your hair, you know. And then I'll say something like, oh, well, actually, it's not by choice. I have alopecia, and this is what alopecia is. And then that has sparked a conversation to educate people on what alopecia really is, you know. And that's something that really comes from confidence as well, right? I'm also very vocal about my alopecia on my Instagram account, you know, on my social media. I've been, you know, I definitely don't hide it anymore. And in the beginning I used to, but I don't hide it anymore because I believe that if I share my story, there are more people out there who have the same story, and our commonalities will come together and we can become even more powerful, and our stories will become more powerful.
That is very strong and powerful what you said. And I do love that you've written this chapter so much. And I'm gonna share this, the last line of your chapter, just because I have to, because you just spoke about you were hiding and you had built that wall. Well, you wrote in the last line of your chapter that freedom comes with resiliency. And the word freedom really resonated with me when I do love wearing makeup. I actually like it. Like, I enjoy it. I love putting it on and doing it. But
right.
there is a sense of captivity as well, because it's like, well, okay, I have to do it. And I wouldn't want to be out, you know, and the timing and all that stuff. So there's a freeing, as you said, about this.
Yes.
Well, you said about awareness about alopecia. I know what it is, but if I were to strike up a conversation with you, what is it you would love for me to know, anybody else listening to know about alopecia?
So alopecia is not something that you can control. I would love for people to understand, like, you know, I get so many requests from, you know, different social media accounts where it's like trying to sell me hair or products or it's not something that I can really control. There's really no cure for alopecia. There's nothing that you can really do. Yes, you can try all these, you know, get things and things like that, but it really comes from an autoimmune disorder, and definitely you have to, with your doctor, see what's the best way to either treat it or try to kind of stop it a little bit, but eventually it's just going to continue, right? So self-care is, right, self-care is really important. The other thing that I really would love for people to, you know, to be aware of, that it could happen to anybody. It doesn't matter. It can happen to a child. It could happen to someone who's in college. It could happen to someone who's a teenager. It could happen to an adult. It could happen to a man. It could happen to a woman. It doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's something that can happen to anyone, you know. And so be aware of your own body, right, and be aware of how you feel. And
oh, we lost you there. Oh. Hang on there. Well, we can't hear you. Oh, goodness.
Hello?
Oh, there you are. You're back. Oh, good, good. We lost that last sentence,
yeah.
You said. I do have a question. You originally had the alopecia because of the Hashimoto's disease, but you didn't even know you had Hashimoto's disease. So what was it?
I didn't.
You go to the doctor to get tested. Like, what was going on in your life that you were experiencing that brought you there to get tested?
So I was going through a lot of changes in my life, and a lot of things were happening in my family, and so I was in a very high-stress environment, you know, trying to deal with a lot of different things. And what triggered me was I found a spot. It was one small, tiny, like, dime-sized spot on the side of my head that had no hair, and that's what triggered me to be like, wait a minute, something is going on. And I went to the doctor, and when he saw that part of my hair was coming off, you know, and was falling, that triggered him as well. He's like, wait a minute, this is something more than what we thought it was. Let's do some more investigating. And when the results came back, it was actually Hashimoto's disease.
Well, I'm so glad that you actually were paying attention to your body. And that's a big thing with when everybody's listening right now, that's part of, When there's resistance going on in our lives, we don't listen to our bodies. And
we don't, yes.
And so with that, I would love that you are shining a light for everybody to see this and hear this. How can people, let everyone know where they can find you and see you and talk to you, whether it's Facebook or Instagram. How can they reach out to you?
So definitely on Instagram, I have an open Instagram, so it's easy to reach me. And my Instagram is AwildaGR, so it's AwildaGR. And then on my Facebook, it's private, but if you send me a request or you send me a message, I definitely will respond. It's Awilda Gonzalez Reyes, so it's AwildaGR.
GONZALEZ, and then REYES.
I hope everybody goes to both Suzanne LaVoice and Awilda Gonzalez Reyes. Yes.
Yes.
pages, because, and pick up this book, because your shift matters. That's the resistance to resilience. And I want to thank both of you. I'm not sure if Suzanne's still with us. If Suzanne and Awilda, I'm just so happy to have you guys really kick off this month and reach out to everybody who needs some help. Thank you guys both so much for joining us today. As we start,
thank you so much.
Yay!
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. All right, everybody listening, we join us again next Monday. We have two more authors, totally different stories, but once again, you know what? Our resistance shows up in life at any time in any way, and we can get through it and live resiliently. So join us next Monday. Okay, bye, guys. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.